You are now listening to For Such a Time as This radio show with Prophetess Epiphany Tanya.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Epiphany Tanya, Minister Epiphany Tanya, Prophetess Epiphany Tanya, and this is For Such a Time as This podcast. And what a word we have for you on this evening, today, whatever time of day it is that you're listening. So as we're accustomed to do, we're going to go into a word of prayer. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. Say, Lord God, please forgive us of our sins. Wash us clean. Have mercy. Please touch those under the sound of my voice and break up the fallow ground. Let your word fall on good ground, heart, mind, body, and soul. Give us knowledge, wisdom, understanding, revelation, proper interpretation, rightly dividing your word of truth. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but doers also as well. And let us be that good ground for your word to fall on. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, revelation, proper interpretation, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you, Jesus. You said your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. You said it won't return to you void. Hallelujah. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It quickens. It's powerful. We thank you for your word, God. And let it do what you sent it to do today, God. We thank you. We give you glory. Let those that listen be the better for it. Let them be blessed. We ask you to bind and be cast out anything and everything not like you. Fight against that which fights against us. Strive against that which strives against us. Cover us in the blood of Jesus from top of our head to the sole of our feet. Protection between us and around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Well, happy Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to be reading today out of Luke 19, starting at verse 28. Okay, it's a little bit reading heavy, but bear with us and go with us if you will. So it says in Luke 19, 28, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man set. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least, in this day, the things which belongeth unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children wherein thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word, even though reading his word is the blessing and the fact that we're not finished. Revelations 8, and we're looking at the altar of incense. And it says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire on the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So I said all that to say, but the key scripture here is, and the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. Okay, so before that, and the smoke of the incense, and four, and the smoke of the incense came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Glory to God, glory to God. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. So what are we looking at here when we go back to Luke? When we go back to Luke verses 19 or chapter 19, and we're looking at this entry that Jesus makes into Jerusalem. And Jesus tells his disciples to go get the colt that's tied up. Go get, you know, you might want to see it as, maybe a better description or understanding for us would be donkey, right? So he tells them to go get this colt, though. It's like a small horse. And he tells them, get the colt, in that if anybody asks you, what are you doing? Tell them the Lord have need of him. And so the disciples do as the Lord has commanded them to do. And they go and they find this colt tied up, and they get the colt, and automatically, the people who must own this colt, we know that they have to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's really difficult for an unbeliever to obey God. And so these individuals that own this colt, next thing you know, it just says they came with the colt, right? You don't see any resistance. You don't hear any arguments, but Jesus already knew that they were going to be obedient to him, because it says, we know that God knows his own. We know that God knows those that are his. And so he sends his disciples. They go, they bring the colt. And now Jesus comes in. They put their clothes on top of the colt, that Jesus sits on this colt. And then they lay their clothes on the ground, and he rides into the town. And this is the representation of Palm Sunday, because they take the palms and they're waving them, and they're singing and they're praising and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, hallelujah, glory to God. And they're saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, in verse 38, and glory in the highest. Hallelujah, praise you, Lord. And they're praising God with loud voices. And they're praising God for all the mighty works that they've seen. They've seen Jesus do miracles. They've seen Jesus heal bodies. They've seen Jesus heal the sick. They've seen Jesus raise the dead. They've seen Jesus talk to the lame man and he walks. They've seen and heard Jesus and all the wonderful mighty works that he's done, that God has done through his son, Jesus. And they're praising God and they're worshiping God. And here come these party pooper Pharisees. Here come the party pooping Pharisees telling them telling him, saying, oh, rebuke the disciples, rebuke these individuals, rebuke them and make them stop praising you. And Jesus lets them know, he sets them straight and says, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I don't know about you, but I don't want no rocks crying out for me. And so it was almost required. It was commanded almost even that they would praise God, because if they did not praise God, they were going to have somebody come and take their place, something come and take their place. It says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Do we really think that God really needs us to praise him? God has trees that praise him every day. God has birds that praise him every day. God has animals and all of nature that praise him every day. It says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So whether or not you praise God, God is going to get his praise either way. It doesn't really matter if you agree or not. It doesn't really matter if it's what you want to do or not. God is going to get his praise no matter what at the end of the day, because all of creation is moaning and groaning and waiting for the sons of God to be manifested, because it's your privilege, it's your benefit to praise God. It's to your benefit to praise God, because you don't want to be replaced by the rocks. Because if you're not praising God and you have breath, what is the point? Glory to God. Because he said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And so here it is. Jesus is saying they have to praise. They have to do this. This is, it's like in the Bible, it talks about Jeremiah. He said it was like fire shut up in his bones. Jeremiah had to tell people about God. Jeremiah had to praise God. Jeremiah had to pray, because if not, it was like so shut up inside of him, he would almost explode it. He couldn't take it. He couldn't just sit on it. He couldn't just pretend like it wasn't anything. He couldn't pretend like God didn't do all the things that, like God didn't do the things that God did. He had to acknowledge God. He had to have gratitude and thankfulness and thanksgiving. It was in him like fire. Because when God moves in your life, it's like that fire, because you recognize, I couldn't do this by myself. I couldn't do this on my own. God is the one that had to do this for me. God is the one that had to step in and save my life time and time again. It had to be God, because there's no other explanation for what I have witnessed and what has happened. Glory to God. And so what happens, these disciples, these people in the city, this is representative of today's Palm Sunday, that these people grab these palms and they're like, Hosanna, Hosanna, and they're praising God. But you got to understand that the disciples believed that Jesus was going to come in on this white horse, and Jesus was going to come in with a sword, and Jesus was going to come in with the whole army, and he was going to destroy the Romans of that day, because the Romans were just ruling with a hard iron fist and a hard hand. And the disciples wanted to see that justice come quickly, and they wanted to see that revenge. They wanted to get that they wanted to see the Romans suffer and pay for all that they did when they had this barbaric way of dealing with people and punishment, putting them on the cross and crucifying individuals, a horrible, horrible way of going out. They tortured people. They beat people. They did all these horrible things. That was their government of that day. And they just wanted God to come and rescue them from the government. But God came a different way from what they were expecting. And they did not know how to handle it. Some of them, they did not understand that he came lowly and meek and humble in spirit. And he came riding on this colt. He came riding on this colt, right? And so while they were praising him, Jesus stops in the midst at some point, and he came near. It said in 41, he came near and he beheld the city, and then he weeps over the city. He wept over the city. This is the second time that Jesus weeps, because we know that Jesus weeps when Lazarus dies. And a lot of people mistake that to believe that Jesus is weeping or crying over Lazarus, but that makes no sense. Why would Jesus have to cry over someone when he had the power to raise him back up from the dead? So why would Jesus be mourning and crying over that? That was not the reason why Jesus wept the first time. That's a misconception, an error in teaching when they tell you that Jesus wept because he loved Lazarus so much, and Jesus wept because Lazarus died, and Jesus wept because all the people wept that were standing out there and they were mourning over Lazarus. So Jesus felt the pain in his heart and he wept. No, that's not why Jesus wept. If you go back and you read Luke 11, I believe it is, where he talks about raising Lazarus, what's happening right before Jesus weeps? You want to know what's happening? It's their unbelief. They don't believe that Jesus will raise Lazarus up from the dead. You got Martha and Mary and his disciples who've walked with him, talk with him. You got Thomas questioning him. You got Thomas saying, is he asleep or is he dead or what's going on? You got Thomas can't comprehend. You got Mary and Martha over here crying. Martha is like, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Everybody's doubting. That's where Jesus is weeping, over their unbelief. It's like, haven't I walked with you? Haven't I talked with you? Don't you see the miracles I've done? How don't you know that I am the resurrection and the life? But they'll preach to you and tell you that Jesus was weeping over Lazarus dying, period. And so Jesus, here we have the second time Jesus weeps in Luke 19, 41. And it says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou had known, even thou at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Here's another time where they did not. You had some of the people that were praising God and worshiping God, Hosanna, Hosanna, and they're throwing down the palms and they're laying them down at his feet and they're waving them and they're praising him. But then you got a whole nother part of the city that doesn't believe. You got a whole nother part of the city that's doubting God. That's doubting, that's saying, oh, that's not really, he's not the Son of God. We see later when he's on the cross, they're mocking him, saying, if thou be the Son of God, bring yourself down from the cross. And he's looking across the city and he's seeing their doubt and unbelief, and he's seeing that they're missing out on their greatest opportunity. Because when he rides in on that colt, he is declaring that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And they're missing in their opportunity. They're missing what he says right here. This is not my words. This is Jesus' words in red. Their own visitation. They knew not the time. What does it say in 44? He says, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And here's the thing. When Jesus visits you, what should you do? When Jesus visits you, are you going to be like the disciples who wave their palms, who wave their hands, who lift up their hands, who dance, who sung, who praise God with all their heart? Or are you going to be the people in the city who are left doubting, who miss their opportunity, who miss their blessing, who miss their visitation? This is the greatest opportunity. Palm Sunday represents the greatest opportunity. It's the beginning. It's the entryway. Here's Jesus coming in. He's coming in. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody opens the door unto me, I will come in. Me and the Father will come in and have supper with him. It's the greatest opportunity known to man. Jesus Christ, the greatest chance that man had, the greatest chance mankind had to save him, to be saved. Can't not save itself because he can't save itself, but to be saved from the wrath to come was Jesus Christ, to be saved from his own sins. Because of one man, sin entered in and it brought sin on all. And now man is born into sin. And in sin did my mother conceive me, that David says in Psalms 51. So now everyone is born into sin because of the sin that entered in through one man. But here is Jesus coming in. Here is Jesus making his entryway, his entry point into the city and showing them all that this is your chance. This is your greatest opportunity for salvation. I am here. I am visiting you. I'm giving you this entrance, this key, this access, if you will. This is your moment. Don't miss your moment. Glory to God. They have a chance here, but half of the people or some percentage of the people are praising and worshiping, and another percentage of the people are doubting and unbelief, and they're not praising, and they're off to the side, and they're probably murmuring, and they're mocking, and they're speaking against him. And we see later that they're going to choose a criminal over him. They're going to choose Barabbas and say, crucify Jesus. They're going to mock Jesus on the cross, saying, if thou be the Son of God, bring yourself down. We're going to see all their doubt and unbelief manifested and come forth. But the question here today is, on the second time that Jesus weeps, which group will you be in? Which side will you be on? Will you be on the side that praises and worships him? Or will you be on the side that's doubting and unbelief? And so you might wonder, where does Revelation 8 come in that I brought in from before? And so what it talks about, I actually, you know, I read the whole thing, but really we want to highlight verses 3 through, I believe is 5. He says, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands, out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Really, we can just go 3 and 4 technically, because I want you to see this contrast here that Jesus is on earth. You got to understand that. I'm going to take you on a little detour for a moment here. I remember this was years ago. I was in my undergrad before I went to my graduate school program. In my undergrad, getting my bachelor's degree in psychology at Temple University, and I had this one. I'm probably one of those females that always had a guy friends, because I resonated and related to guys more than girls most of the time. And so I had this one guy friend in school, and then sometimes I might give him a ride home, right? After class, we would finish all our class or whatever. And he'd like, give me a ride home. So I'll give him a ride home. And so we're riding home. And this friend, I forget what, this is so many years ago, so I definitely can't even remember, you know, a lot of parts of like what religion he was, but he was in something where they didn't understand the Trinity. I don't know if he was a Jehovah's Witness. It was a Seventh-day Adventist. I can't remember what it was. He was something else. And so I was some kind of way the conversation went to the Trinity, and I was like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he was like, well, that doesn't, oh, he's always, it was kind of funny. He would call me a born again. He was like, oh, the born again, there's the born again. He would call me the born again. It was kind of funny, but he said, that doesn't make any sense. How can God be three in one? And then he said, you know, so he said, okay, well, when Jesus is praying, and then he's talking to God in heaven, then how doesn't make any sense? How can Jesus be on earth and then God be in heaven and you say they're all one? And then he said, ah, my God, my God. He said, what did God do? Split himself in half? I said, hallelujah. I start going off in that car. I start going off. I said, hallelujah. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. It's exactly what he did. He split himself in half. Glory to God. So you got God, the Father in heaven. You got Jesus, God, the Son on earth. And you got the Holy Spirit. At that time, the Holy Spirit was still in heaven with the Father, because the Holy Spirit hadn't been sent down yet, because Acts hadn't happened. So the Holy Spirit hadn't come down yet. So you got God the Father and God the Holy Spirit sitting up in heaven. You got Jesus, God the Son on earth. And so when we look at this picture in Revelations, you got God the Father up in heaven, and the angels are bringing the prayers, but not just the prayers. You got this praise and worship that's happening on the earth as Jesus rides the cult into the city.
and the people are praising him. The people are worshiping him. You have this coming up to heaven as a incense, as an aroma. So the angel takes those prayers and he burns them with the incense on the altar, and God takes them in and inhales them. God takes them in and inhales them like a sweet smelling savor. So you have to understand this picture of what's taking place. God is waiting for you to give him your best. Give him your best prayers, your best praise and worship. Because this is your moment. This is your opportunity. This is your visitation. Jesus came in riding on that colt, and they had a chance. They had a moment. They had an opportunity. And I'm here to tell you and encourage you. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your visitation. Don't miss your opportunity for God to show up in your life and do something like never before. You want to talk about chains breaking? You want to talk about doors flying open? You want to talk about opportunities galore? You want to talk about opening up windows of heaven and pouring you out blessings you don't have room to receive? Give it to God. Give him your time. Give him your mind. Give him your praise. Give him your worship. Give him your heart. Give him your soul. Give him your best. So it can come up to heaven and he can inhale it like a sweet smelling savor, and he can pour out his blessings back on you. That's how it works. That's how it works. And all I'm showing you in Revelation is the picture of what was happening in heaven while Jesus was down on earth. God the Father was up in heaven. God the Son was on the earth, and he's coming in, and the praises are going up, and God's inhabiting the praises of his people, as the word says. And the angels are catching those prayers. Every time when you worship God, every time when you praise God, the angels are catching those prayers. And they're burning them with incense on the altar, and God is inhaling them like a sweet smelling savor. Well, that's all I have for you today, beloved. And I just want you not to miss your moment. Give God your best. Give God your praise. Don't be another time when Jesus wept or Jesus weeps. Don't be another reason why Jesus needs to weep. He wept because of their unbelief. He wept because they didn't take hold of their moment, and they missed their visitation. Glory to God. If you don't know the Lord, this is your opportunity. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. This is your opportunity to give God your everything, because he has more in store for you than you could ever imagine or even believe. It's so much that God wants to do in and through your life. But it requires your surrender. It requires your heart. It requires you to say yes to God, because he's already done the work. It's just really simple on your part to just say yes. Say, yes, I will. I'll receive this gift that you died, Lord, to give me. Because if you keep going in Luke, and as this week, we're in this holy week right now, you read and you learn what happened. You learn the story. Because on Friday, we're going to come into Good Friday, and that's where Jesus is crucified on the cross. And it's so significant of what he did for you and I. He died for our sins. So if you want to know him today, you can say this simple prayer. You can say, Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe I'm in need of a savior. I know you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again. Come into my life. I give you my life. For the rest of my life, I give you my heart, mind, body, and soul. And I say yes to your will and your way. Please be my savior and Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. And just like that, the Bible says that you are saved, beloved. You are saved. So you can just thank the Lord. You can find you a Bible believing, Jesus teaching, Jesus believing, preaching church, God loving church, and continue to grow in the things of God. Continue to try to learn and glean and study the word and read and pray every day. And you can reach out to this ministry as well. I'm at linktree linktr.ee/ E-P-I-P-H-A-N-Y-T-A-N-Y-A. Epiphany Tanya. Reach out to this ministry as well, and we will be happy to send you some type of materials to help you further in your walk. Glory to God. All others, I'm going to pray us out. Father God, we just bless you. We praise you. We worship you, magnify you, glorify you. Please touch those under the sound of my voice. And I pray, Lord God, you help us all not miss our moment. Every chance we get to praise you, every time and chance we get to pray, every time and chance we get to read and study your word, let us not miss our moment. Let us not miss our visitation with you, God. Help us to take hold and lay hold of those opportunities, God. Help us to take hold of those advantages, oh God, those benefits that you daily load us with, oh God. Let us not miss a moment. Let us not miss an opportunity of prayer and praise and worship and studying of your word and memorizing your word and putting, hiding your word in our heart that we wouldn't sin against you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, of having our prayers come up before you so you can burn them like a sweet smelling savor, but the angels can take the incense and burn them and you can take it in like a sweet smelling savor. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor, God. We don't want to miss nothing, God. We don't want to lose nothing with you, God. You said with you, nothing shall be wasted. So use it all to your glory. You said all things work together for our good and you'll give us beauty for ashes. So bring forth the beauty, God. Bring forth the good, oh God, that you have for us. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Fight against that which fights against us. Strive against that which strives against us. No weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Well, beloved, that's all I got for you today. Join me again next time. And I want you to know I love you and there's nothing you could do about it. I want you to go be great on purpose. Remember, whatever you're going through, God is turning that thing around for you. And who knows if you've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Again, check out the link tree, linktr.ee/epiphany, E-P-I-P-H-A-N-Y-T-A-N-Y-A. Epiphany Tanya. God bless you. Love you. Till next time. Peace.